Isaac Bobble knew the power of the written word. No steel, he wrote, can pierce the human heart so chillingly as a period at the right moment. Bobble also knew the power of real steel. During the Russian Civil War, he served as a political officer with Budeni's Cossacks, an experience that led to his celebrated short story collection, Red Cavalry. The Rabbi's Son dates from that period. It is a character study of a passionate Jewish comrade who, like Bobble himself, finds it easier to serve the revolution than break with his own Jewish past. The Rabbi's Son by Isaac Bobble. Our reader is Ron Rifkin.
Remember Zhytomyr, Vasily? Remember the Tetyerev? And that evening, when the young Sabbath slid in stealthily behind the sunset, crushing out little stars under its red heel, the slender crescent moon dipped its arrows into the black waters of the Tetyerev. Strange Gedali, the founder of the New International, led us to Rabbi Mutala Bratslavsky's for the evening service. The cock's feathers and funny Gedali's top hat swayed in the red smoke of the evening. Candles blinked their predatory eyes in the rabbi's room. Heavy-shouldered Jews bending over prayer books were moaning, and the old jester of the Chernobyl tzaddiks jingled coppers in his tattered pocket. Remember that night, Vasily? Horses neighed, and Cossacks shouted outside the windows. The desert of war gaped outside the windows, and Rabbi Mutala Bratslavsky prayed by the eastern wall, his dead fingers clutching his prayer shawl. Then the curtain of the ark was drawn aside, and in the funereal candlelight, we saw the scrolls of the Torah wrapped in purple velvet and pale blue silk. And hovering above the Torah was the lifeless, resigned, magnificent face of the rabbi's son, Ilya, the last prince of the dynasty. And then, 2 days ago, Vasily, the regiments of the 12th Army withdrew and left the Kovel sector of the front undefended. The scornful artillery shells of victory thundered all over the town. Our troops winced and reeled back in confusion. The train of the propaganda section started crawling away across the dead backs of the fields. The typhus-ridden peasants rolled before them a common cause of soldiers' death. The peasants clambered onto the steps of our carriages, only to be knocked down by rifle butts. They snorted, sniffled, scratched, and surged on in silence. After 12 miles, when I had run out of spuds, I hurled a batch of Trotsky's leaflets to them. Only one of them reached out his dirty, wilted hand. I recognized Ilya, the son of the Zhytomyr rabbi. I recognized him immediately, Vasily, and it was so sad to see that prince who had lost his trousers and was doubled up under his army pack that I broke the rule and we pulled him up onto the train. His bare knees, as helpless as an old woman's, banged against the rusty iron steps. Two big-breasted typists in sailors' jackets dragged the long, embarrassed body of the dying man across the floor. We laid him on the floor in the corner of the editorial room. Cossacks in red riding breeches covered him up as best they could. The typists, uncomplicated females with their bandy legs planted apart, stared dumbly at his genitals, the wasted, curly virility of a starved Semite. But I, who had met him one night during my wanderings, I started to pack the scattered belongings of Red Army Private Bratslavsky into a box. It was a hodgepodge, a directive to a propagandist lay next to the notebooks of a Jewish poet, The portraits of Lenin and Maimonides were neighbors. The gnarled iron of Lenin's skull and the dim silkiness of Maimonides' picture. A lock of woman's hair marked a page in a bound volume of the resolutions of the Sixth Party Congress. And crooked lines of Hebrew verse were crowded into the margins of political pamphlets. In a sad and puny drizzle, the pages of the Song of Songs and revolver cartridges fell upon me. The sad sunset rainfall rinsed the dust from my hair, and I said to the young man who was dying on a ragged mat in the corner of a carriage, 4 months ago, on a Friday evening, the junk merchant Gedali brought me to your father, Rabbi Motila. But you weren't a party member then, Braslavsky.
I was already in the party,
the boy said, tearing at his chest and writhing in fever.
Only I couldn't leave my mother.
And now, Ilya?
A mother is only an incident to the revolution,
he whispered, less and less audibly.
The letter B came up, my letter. And the organization sent me off to the front.
And you found yourself in Kovel, Ilya?
Yes, I found myself in Kovel,
he shouted in despair.
The kulaks left their sector undefended. I took command of a scratch regiment, but it was too late. I didn't have enough artillery.
He died before we got to Rovno. He died, the last prince, amid verses, phylacteries, and foot rags. We buried him at some forgotten railroad stop, and I, who am hardly able to contain in my ancient body the storms of my imagination, I was the only one there to receive my brother's last sigh.
That was The Rabbi's Son, written by Isaac Babel and read by Ron Rifkin. The story appears in Lyubka the Cossack and Other Stories by Isaac Babel, translated from the Russian by Andrew R. McAndrew, and is used by permission of the translator. And that concludes today's program of Jewish short stories from Eastern Europe and beyond, produced by the National Yiddish Book Center and public radio station KCRW Santa Monica. The series was directed by Joan Micklin Silver and produced in the studios of KCRW by Laurie Alana McGlinchey and Johanna Cooper, with assistance from Roz Abraham. Original music was composed and arranged by Hank Osnetsky. Narration was written by Leonard Glick, Kenneth Turan, Aaron Lansky, and Laurie McGlinchey. Our engineers are Theo Mondel, Lechik Wojcik, and Jerry LaRosa. Music engineered by Steve Revelak and John Servies, with production assistance by George B. Hicks and Stefan Weibel. Sound mixing by Theo Mondel and Ray Guana. Our executive producers are Aaron Lansky and Ruth Seymour. The full 13-hour series of Jewish short stories from Eastern Europe and beyond is available on cassette from the National Yiddish Book Center. For information, please call 1-800-9-SERIES, 1-800-973-7437. Major funding for this series was provided by the Joseph S. and Diane Steinberg Charitable Trust of New York City. Additional support was provided by the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Dora Teitelbaum Foundation, the Lewis and Helen Padnos Foundation, the California Arts Council, the Joseph Meyerhoff Memorial Trusts, Irving and Trudy Lehrer, the National Endowment for the Arts, and the members and friends of KCRW and the National Yiddish Book Center. Support for the distribution of this program comes from National Public Radio member stations and National Public Radio, whose contributors include the Lila Wallace Reader's Digest Fund, helping people make the arts part of their everyday lives. For KCRW and the National Yiddish Book Center, I'm Leonard Nimoy. This is NPR, National Public Radio.